traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. It is Friday. Hallelujah. Welcome. The phone number, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. My goodness gracious, I really am glad to be with you, in large part because it is Friday. By the way, bringing everybody up to speed here, the Texas House of Representatives has passed constitutional carry. It will go to the Texas Senate, which is considering it. More states need to do this. My home state of Georgia, my native state of Louisiana, they should be on the list for constitutional carry. You should not have to have a permit to conceal carry if you are a lawful person who lawfully bought a firearm. So good on Texas. Now the Texas Senate has to do it. Now, I'm actually sitting here as we begin writing. You know, you can always subscribe to my daily newsletter. If you text the word data to 33777, you can go subscribe. You don't have to pay anything. It is, well, if you want the good stuff, you got to pay $7 a month. For the general stuff, you don't. And I'm about to send a general piece out. And you are more than welcome to get it if you text the word data to 33777. You can get, or you can always go to ericericksonshow.com or ewericksonshow.com to get stuff as well. But so I've been thinking about this Russia story. I don't know if you've heard. Remember the story that the Russians were paying bounties for killing American servicemen. It blew up against Donald Trump. Kamala Harris attacked him over it. The left attacked him over it. The intelligence community made the claims. Now Joe Biden is going to, he's going to take the business to Vladimir Putin with sanctions, and it turns out that the Russian bounty story is not true. This is the headline from the Wall Street Journal this morning. Intelligence was limited that Russia offered bounties on U.S. troops, White House says. That would be the Biden White House. The Biden administration Thursday says it didn't have solid intelligence that Russia had offered bounties to Afghan militants to kill U.S. troops. Reports that last summer shook up U.S.-Russia relations increased tensions between the U.S. and Taliban during a troop drawdown and prompted bipartisan condemnation over the Trump administration's inaction. On Thursday, the Biden administration said U.S. intelligence had only low to moderate confidence in the reports of the alleged bounty program. The administration expressly declined to link the latest sanctions and expulsions of Russian diplomats undertaken Thursday to the bounty program. But enlisting the bounty as a point of tension with Russia alongside the SolarWinds hack of government and corporate computer systems interference election actions, U.S. intelligence officials attribute to Moscow, the administration aimed to put Moscow on notice and to protect U.S. troops remaining in Afghanistan until the withdrawal is completed. Last year, the Wall Street Journal and a hell of a lot of others reported that a Russian spy unit paid members of Afghanistan's Taliban movement to conduct lethal attacks on U.S. troops in that country, citing a classified American intelligence assessment. the alleged bounties were first reported by the New York Times. Of course. Of course. Of course it was the New York Times that first reported this. Turns out they don't really believe with it. The U.S. spy agencies disagree on the strength of the intelligence. The Marine Corps general in charge of U.S. operations in the Middle East and Afghanistan said there was no evidence, no evidence. The proposed payment scheme resulted in U.S. troop deaths. All right. They used this against Donald Trump on the campaign trail. Is there any remorse at all about this?
I would say first that we felt the reports were enough of a cause of concern that we wanted our intelligence community to look into those reports as a part of this overall assessment. They assessed with low to moderate confidence, as you alluded to, that Russian intelligence officers sought to encourage Taliban attacks against U.S. and coalition personnel in Afghanistan. The reason that they have low to moderate confidence in this judgment is in part because it relies on detainee reporting, and due to the challenging environment, and also due to the challenging operating environment in Afghanistan. So it's challenging to gather this intelligence and this data. I will say that we assess, our intelligence community, I should say, assesses that a general staff main intelligence directorate, GRU, also known as, manage interaction with individuals in Afghan criminal networks. We have high confidence in that assessment. And the involvement of this GRU's unit is consistent with Russia's encouraging attacks against U.S. and coalition personnel in Afghanistan. So while there's low to moderate assessment of these reports, we felt it was important for our intelligence community to look into it. And we, of course, will not stand by and accept the targeting of our personnel by any elements, including a foreign state actor. This information really puts the burden on Russia and the Russian government to explain their engagement here. Go ahead.
Jen, given that assessment, does the president have any regrets for how many times he attacked President Trump on the campaign about this issue for not taking action related to the Russian bounties?
Well, I'm not going to speak to the previous administration, but I will say that we had enough concern about these reports and about the targeting of our men and women serving, the men and women who are proudly serving around the world, that we wanted our intelligence community to look into it. Now, again, there are several factors that contributed to the low to moderate confidence in the judgment, including the difficulty of the operating environment, and of course, the reliance on detainee reporting. At the same time, we still feel there are questions to be answered by the Russian government.
So they don't want to. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to talk about Donald Trump. They don't want to engage in the harm. They don't want to engage in the slights. They don't want to engage in anything related thereto. But my goodness, they'll walk it back now because it's not a point of contention in the Biden administration steps against Russia. Headline, Kamala Harris pushed unverified story about Russian bounty on U.S. troops in the Middle East. Democratic vice presidential nominee, this is from October 7th. Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris claimed during Wednesday night's vice presidential debate that President Donald Trump ignored alleged Russian bounties on American troops, despite several generals and intelligence officials saying there is no evidence corroborating the claim. There was public reporting that Russia had bounties on the heads of American soldiers, Harris said. And you know what a bounty is? Someone puts a price on your head. They will pay it if you're killed. And Donald Trump had talked at least six times to Vladimir Putin and never brought up the subject. Joe Biden would never do that. Now, let's go back to the New York Times report. Headline, Russia secretly offered Afghan militants bounties to kill U.S. troops, intelligence says. Charlie Savage, Eric Schmidt, and Michael Schwartz. Eric Schmidt, no relation to the Google guy. American intelligence officials have concluded that a Russian military intelligence unit secretly offered bounties to Taliban-linked militants for killing coalition forces in Afghanistan amid peace talks. The United States concluded months ago that the Russian unit which has been linked to assassination attempts and other covert operations in Europe, intended to destabilize the West or take revenge on turncoats. Islamic militants or armed criminal elements closely associated with them are believed to have collected some bounty money, the officials said. The intelligence findings were briefed to President Trump, and the White House's National Security Council discussed the problem at an interagency meeting in late March, the officials said. Officials developed a menu of potential options. An operation to incentivize the killing of Americans or other NATO troops would be a significant and provocative escalation of what American and Afghan officials have said is Russian support for the Taliban, and it would be the first time the Russian spy unit was known to have orchestrated attacks on Western troops. All of this is getting, this was written as fact. It was written as fact that President Trump was briefed. It was written as fact the National Security Council discussed it. It was written as fact that it happened. It was written as fact that there were conclusions. It was written as fact that the intelligence community said as much. And it was not true. Even the Biden administration is no longer willing to say it's true. Even the Biden administration says they can't stand by the claim. But the New York Times did. The New York Times did. It was a hit job on Donald Trump by the American media. And now the White House walks back. Now, why was it walked back? Because Joe Biden is imposing sanctions on Russia for hacking into the United States, for the SolarWinds hack, which is actually a really big deal. Interestingly enough, the media has not reported all of the details on it like they did this. The SolarWinds attack is a big freaking deal. Essentially, what was happening is computer code was altered on a program used to secure American computers. The code was hacked into and altered that allowed the Russians to get deeply within the American intelligence community servers because they were using this outside software to protect themselves. And it had been hacked. In fact, the reason we're not hearing so much about the SolarWinds story is because the American government is pretty freaking worried about what the Russians got, and they don't want to signal anything within the press because the press won't be able to help themselves and report it. Joe Biden imposing sanctions now on Russia.
My bottom line is this. Where there's an interest in the United States to work with Russia, we should and we will. Where Russia seeks to violate the interests of the United States, we will respond. We'll always stand in defense of our country, our institutions, our people, and our allies. Thank you very much for your time.
Mr. President, did President Putin give you any indication in that call that he is willing to change his behavior?
We indicated we would talk about it. I laid out, as I said, very simply. I said during the campaign, I said when he called to congratulate me on being elected, I said subsequent to that, this last conversation, that if it turned out that he was engaged in the activities that he'd been accused of in cybersecurity and SolarWinds and interfering in our elections, that I would respond in kind. I urged him to respond appropriately, not to exceed it, because we can move as well. My hope and expectation is we'll be able to work out a modus vivendi, but it's important that we have direct talks and that we continue to be in contact with one another.
That's what he wants, sanctions. He's going to impose them. And by the way, there's good reason to impose more sanctions on the Russians, but one of the reasons should have been the Russian bounty program. After all, Kamala Harris attacked Donald Trump. Kamala Harris attacked him for not taking harsh action against the Russians. So it was a natural question. If these are the reasons why not the bounty program? Why isn't listed? Well, they had to walk it back now. It also begged other questions about the level of the sanctions and what they were going to do. Why? Because otherwise they would walk it back. They would have to explain why they're not using it, why the sanctions aren't more severe. So finally, now that Trump is gone, they could do it. The question is, who in the intelligence community was seeding this information. Remember, it was a guy embedded now at the CIA who worked in the White House who started the Ukraine stuff to get President Trump impeached the first time. I'm not really down with the whole deep state conspiracy stuff, but let's be clear here. There are former Obama aides and other leftists within the intelligence community who wanted to hurt Donald Trump. They wanted to hurt him. They wanted to prove you can't take on the intelligence community. It might be time to do a full deep dive into the intelligence community and find out who the leakers are and purge them, because clearly they themselves are trying to play at nation state games, and they shouldn't be doing it. They were trying to disrupt an American election. Our own. There's got to be some level of accountability there, but I bet the press is going to rush forward unencumbered and unburdened to even inquire as to who the New York Times sources were, because it got them what they wanted. It helped defeat Donald Trump. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. James O'Keefe has been banned from Twitter. The head of Project Veritas. Have you seen his reporting on the CNN guy? Let me get to his website here as I'm doing this. It's a pretty damning report that he's got right now. This is from the New York Post. Project Veritas founder James O'Keefe's Twitter account was suspended Thursday, a day after he released secretly recorded video of a CNN staffer boasting that his network produced propaganda. His words, propaganda, the CNN producer, propaganda aimed at defeating Donald Trump during the 2020 election. Twitter gave no reason for the suspension, and a message on the account link said only it was disabled due to a violation of Twitter rules. CNN technical director Charlie Chester was featured in the undercover video on Wednesday, saying that the network brought in medical experts to over-dramatize Trump's coronavirus health issues. The admissions were taped during a fake Tinder date, in which Chester boasted the network got Trump out of office. Look what we did. We got Trump out. I'm 100% going to say it, and I 100% believe that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out, Chester said, adding that he came to work at CNN because he wanted to be a part of that. Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was. Chester also bragged in the sting tape that the network played up the COVID-19 death toll for ratings on orders from top CNN brass. Both Twitter and Facebook took extraordinary censorship measures against the post in October 2020 after the exposés about Hunter Biden's emails, which Twitter baselessly charged that hacking materials were used. This CNN story, so this guy, if you haven't heard the details, a Project Veritas worker working for James O'Keefe found a CNN dude advertising on the dating site Tinder, went on dates with him, and secretly recorded the conversations. He was very, very braggadocious about his behavior and antics. He was very, very braggadocious about CNN being used. Now, given CNN's ratings, I don't know how much of an impact you can say they had on getting Donald Trump out, but you can tell that the coverage was relentless. I know people, you know, I worked at CNN for 3 years. I've still got a lot of friends there. I got a lot of respect for a number of the people who work there, but it's very, very clear that CNN decided to become MSNBC light. Less smart. They got Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo, not exactly paragons of intelligence. And for all of their slamming of Fox News and MSNBC as left and right commentary and CNN, what's an apple? When's an apple and not a banana? We only speak truth. It's very clear CNN decided to go all in on sensational attacks against Donald Trump. Every single story had to be about Donald Trump. You know, they gave Valerie Jarrett's daughter a job. In fact, they booted a CNN anchor to make space for Valerie Jarrett's daughter, Valerie Jarrett of the Obama White House. And I know multiple people who currently work in the building at CNN who tell me they themselves tired of the fact that every story had to have a negative Trump angle. Every story had to be tied to Donald Trump to get airtime. And you could see that in their coverage. Now that Trump is gone, the network's ratings are in decline. And, of course, they're just attacking James O'Keefe. They're not actually attacking what their producer said. He's the technical director for CNN, Charlie Chester. You should pay attention to this story. It's not going to get a lot of media coverage. It's very clear at this point. The media is circling the wagons to protect themselves. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I have a piece that I just pushed out to my Substack, and I want to spend a few moments talking about this. If you want to get it, I'll make it easy. Just text data to 33777. The third link will be to my newsletter. Now you should subscribe anyway, but nonetheless, I want to just meditate with you momentarily on the nonsense in the press. Bear with me here. The New York Post published a story about Hunter Biden last year. In the run-up to the election, the New York Post recounted that Hunter Biden had this laptop. There's all sorts of damaging information on it. There are pictures of him with the prostitutes and the crack, and on it went. Twitter blocked the New York Post account. Twitter ultimately blocked the New York Post. Twitter got mad at and punished anyone who tried to share the story from the New York Post. And it turns out the story was true. But that didn't matter at the time. Twitter came up with all sorts of excuses, and it turns out that the story was completely true. Social media giants routinely allow you to put up pictures of celebrity homes. Celebrity buys a mansion. There's a big story. Celebrity buys mansion in Malibu. Here are the pictures. Or on Mulholland Drive, there's a big picture of the mansion. Or in Bel Air. Well, conservatives put up the picture of a celebrity buying a home in Topanga Canyon outside Los Angeles, a multi-million-dollar home, along with the pictures of the other purchases the celebrity made. And suddenly their accounts are turned off or the tweets are deleted. Facebook won't let you share it. What is it? It's the Black Lives Matter co-founder, the self-described Marxist co-founder of Black Lives Matter, bought a million-plus house in an all-white enclave of Los Angeles, and anyone who dared say so on social media got their accounts turned off. You can do it about J-Lo and A-Rod, but not about anybody else. When their properties are divvied up, people will be able to put pictures on it, and it'll be just fine, but not the Black Lives Matter co-founder. Oh, no, you can't. In Georgia, Latham Sadler has announced he's running against the media darling Raphael Warnock, the U.S. Senator. Latham Sadler is going to be one of probably a dozen candidates running. He's a Navy SEAL, worked for the Trump administration, left to become an executive at Synovus, the bank. Young guy announces his launch, and Twitter restricts his account. Says there was just a lot of activity on his account, so that they had to restrict it. He's running for the United States Senate. Of course, there's a lot of activity. The media, through social media, put out a ton of falsehoods about Georgia's voter law. They're doing the same with Texas's proposal now. Lies about restrictions on voter ID, lies about restrictions on absentee ballots, lies about restrictions on early voting. Raphael Warnock, Georgia's new senator, sent out an email push making false claims. They've given him a pass. Social media's given him a pass. Social media's given them all passes about all the information they wanted to put up on social media that was not true. The media ridiculed Donald Trump for saying the Russia bounty was a hoax. The Washington Post gave him 4 Pinocchios for saying it was a hoax. Turns out it was a hoax. Various reporters who reported it at the time, today, their tweets are still up. Twitter has not appended their tweets to say it's misleading information. But by God, if a conservative were to put up information about the Biden administration that might not be true. There would be a little notice from Twitter. You put something up on COVID-19 that the Dr. Fauci doesn't like, they're going to flag it for you. 60 Minutes gets to continue its account. Unlike the New York Post, with a truthful story on Hunter Biden, 60 Minutes outright defamed Publix, the grocery store, and Ron DeSantis, and they get their media accounts left intact. 60 Minutes, I think, is on its fifth or sixth explanation for why it did what it did, including selectively editing Ron DeSantis to merge the audio of two separate questions and make it sound like Ron DeSantis was responding to just one question. It was an outright distortion. You put up a clip of Joe Biden that was like that, and Twitter's going to put a little label on there that the video could have been edited, or they may even take it down. But this one, nope, they were perfectly fine to let 60 Minutes keep it up. In fact, speaking of Ron DeSantis, he put up a video, it was on YouTube, of him discussing with scientists different precautions and procedures for COVID and reopening of schools. The scientists were citing European data and what European scientists are advising European nations, which is quite a lot different than what some of them are advising in this country, including Dr. Fauci. YouTube took the video down. The science isn't settled. The science is not settled on this. And in fact, the scientists in Europe disagree with the scientists in the United States. Ron DeSantis was highlighting what the Europeans are doing. YouTube banned the video because someone in this administration here probably didn't like it. Went against their advice. Didn't go against scientific consensus because there's a disagreement. And on it goes. The original New York Times reporting on the Russian bounty program was done by Charlie Savage, Eric Schmidt, and Michael Schwartz. There was no doubting in their reporting. They treated it as confirmed. They treated it as collaborated. They treated it as corroborated. They treated it as dealt with by the Trump administration internally and covered up. And it turns out it wasn't true. There's no appendage on the New York Times reporting today. I've looked. There's no editorial notice that the Biden administration disagrees with it. There's nothing. You got a lot of conservatives who believe the deep state was out to get Donald Trump. This will add fuel to the fire. But what's more important for all of us to understand is that the American media and the American left, which the media is part of, so internalized their belief that Donald Trump was an authoritarian tyrant who must be stopped, they will engage in all the behaviors they claimed he engaged in to stop him and his supporters. They claimed he was a liar. They'll elevate their own lies and mistruths. They'll embrace heavy-handed censorship. The bastions of free speech are opposed to the free speech of those they disagree with because they want to stop all the people they view as a menace. They have become the thing they claim to hate. They've convinced themselves it's for our own good. They know what's best for you and me. We're just the Hicks and Rubes of the Bible Belt. We're conservative. We supported Trump. We must not know reality. They got to protect us from ourselves, or we're bigots and racist and we need to be stopped. They're happy to lie themselves. They're happy to harm those they see as less committed to liberalism than themselves and less noble than themselves. They're happy to engage in cancel culture. Remember CNN sending the reporter to harass the guy for putting up the video of Nancy Pelosi, or they sent the reporter down to Florida to the retiree's house because she shared something on Facebook. Oh my God, she shared something on Facebook. It turned out to be Russian propaganda. She had no idea, and yet they wanted to name and shame her in her front yard. They never apologized. On a daily basis, they are obsessed with Fox News. Obsessed with Fox. Tucker Carlson, you would think, is the second coming of Donald Trump. If not Ron DeSantis is, they can't decide who. But every day there's a story about what did Tucker Carlson say last night? How dare he? They're upset, and they call him a liar, because you can go to Fox News at any time of day and get counter-programming from the left-wing cultural zeitgeist of CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post. You can go to Fox News and get the rest of the story. You can go to Fox News and get the different stories. The stories the rest of the media doesn't want to tell you because they're out to get you. The problem with this is more extreme than just standard media bias. There are a growing number of Americans who know the media isn't telling us the full story, who know the media has a bias, who know the media is out to get people like you and me. There's a story on CNN about evangelicals and the virus. They're using a self-described, and that's important here, self-described evangelical church. We're from the pulpit. The pastor talks about the virus being the mark of the beast and a tool of Satan and embedding in you and all sorts of stuff. I mean, the guy can be self-described evangelical, but that doesn't necessarily make him evangelical. They'll find that they'll nitpick. Instead of nitpick, they nitpick. They find the one fringe guy and use that one fringe guy as an example of all of them. Oh, look, all the evangelicals believe Microsoft is injecting microchips in you with the Moderna vaccine. They frame stories. They don't just tell you the truth. They frame stories. And then they use social media. And social media bullies you and silences you and censors you and says you're lying when you're not. What's going to happen here, really important, you understand what's going to happen. A lot of good, well-meaning, well-intentioned Americans are going to go down the rabbit hole to future QAnon-style conspiracies, and they're going to go to very dark places. Because people want to find the truth. So they will, with their own confirmation biases, with their own confirmation biases, their own presumptions, they'll go find people who think like them and sound like them, who look real, who look good, who are as big a liars as the MSNBC New York Times crowd is. But because they believe what they're hearing, it confirms their biases, they're going to embrace it. And those people will send them to very dark places too. We've seen this with the QAnon stuff. People go in search of truth and oftentimes find what sounds true on the internet and is not. I mean, the story of the 21st century, if anything, is the new rise of conspiracy theories as people abandon the mainstream media, go look in search of truth, and they find the charlatans. They find the frauds with well-produced videos. It looks like it's true. They put a lot of time into it. It must be true. Confirms my biases, confirms what I think, doesn't challenge you. But then the media is not challenging you either. They're ridiculing you. They're censoring you. They're bullying you. Where do we go for real truth? Where do we go for the truth? Where do we go for programming that doesn't confirm our biases and tell us what we already think is true, but actually gives us the real truth in such a way that we can make up our mind for ourselves, that we can, here are all of the facts, the ones you like and the ones you don't, as opposed to narrative shaping, as opposed to framing. I don't want a press corps that frames a story for me or gives me a narrative. I just want the truth. And they're not giving us the truth. They're trying to shape a truth, their truth, and trying to get you to believe it. And you know it's not true. There's a voice in the back of your head that says, wait a second, this is too good to be true. Look at the New York Times story on the Russian bounty. I talked about it on this very radio program and said it just sounds too good to be true. Give it time to see how it plays out. And sure enough, within a week, the Trump administration was pushing back hard. The head of intelligence was pushing back hard. The Defense Department was pushing back hard. The Joint Chiefs of Staff were pushing back against it. And yet the media doubled down. Well, how can we believe the Trump administration? They're just a bunch of liars. The very generals they praised were suddenly liars for pushing back on the story the media wanted so desperately to be true. There's got to be truth out there. There is objective truth out there. We live in a postmodern world where in postmodernism, for years it took me, what the hell do people mean by postmodernism? This is exactly what they mean by postmodernism, that you take the idea of truth and you decide it's subjective, it can't be objective, and therefore we should elevate the doubts as truth over the truth itself. We have all these people going through deconstruction in churches. It's a big thing now with youth deconstructing their faith, breaking down their faith, and they elevate the doubt above the truth and ultimately walk away from the faith. People are deconstructing the media, and the media gives them so much ammo, so much evidence, so much opportunity to deconstruct what's going on, because the media itself doesn't believe in truth anymore. The media believes in storytelling, storytelling that they can elevate their side of the story. They can pick the villain. They can pick the protagonist and the antagonist. And the antagonist is always the white male Christian or the cop or the conservative or the Republican or the soldier. And everything is them versus us versus them versus somebody, as opposed to who, what, where, when, why, and how. This doesn't end well for any of us. It doesn't end well for me. It doesn't end well for you. Everybody goes chasing down rabbit holes and finding, oh, I saw this on the internet. It must be true. April Fool's is the only day of the year where we act skeptically about stuff we read on the internet. People will play you. The left will play you, but people on the right will play you. They'll all play you. But you got to work hard for the truth, because it's really freaking clear at this point. The media has decided they will do all the stuff they claim Donald Trump did to stop a future Donald Trump. They'll be as authoritarian as they said he was, because they believe he and his kind are the worst of humanity and must be stopped at all costs. And if that means they must run character assassinations and engage in cancel culture and tell you stories that are lies fueled by Democrats embedded within the government as their sources, they will do it. They will be what they say they hate. They will become all they hold against. They will embrace the values of those they claim to despise for the greater good, the good of protecting you from yourself, or protecting what they believe is a pure America from you. They are in on this with the left. They are the left. You can't believe them, but here's the thing. You can't necessarily believe the people on your side either, because more and more people on both sides are doing this sort of BS. Call me old-fashioned, but I still think there's got to be a real truth out there, and we've all got an obligation to find it. Even if it works against us, we should at least be able to embrace an objective truth. But in the media, oh, no, 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 no. It's all about owning the other side. That's more important than truth. Hello there, it is Eric Erickson. Y'all, Omaha Steaks has the grilling package of the year for you. You want 12 burgers, so my kid is in soccer. And we could get 12 burgers and have a cookout with his team if we wanted. Because you also get chicken, you get steak, you get pork chops, you even get dessert. I mean, this is, you get 12 burgers for free from Omaha Steaks right now. Such a good package. Here's what you do. You go to omahasteaks.com. You put Georgia in the search bar, and you'll see the Let's Go Grill package. You'll get burgers, 12 of them for free. It's almost 4 pounds of burgers. You will get it for free. You'll get steak. You'll get chicken. You get their grilled chicken breasts. I eat those all the time. But the burgers in particular are fantastic. You know, you go to the grocery store, you get your standard ground chuck, and they shrink up on the grill. People tell you, use your knuckle, put a little hole in it, like a depression, a dimple in the middle of the burger to keep them from shrinking up so much. It does work, but then you get these kind of ballooned up burgers. You don't get that with the Omaha Steak Burger, because they're a burger blend, and they're delicious. I'm telling you. And they're going to send you some of their signature seasoning, which is great. Go to omahasteaks.com, put Georgia in the search bar. Get this incredible package. You know, you get $20 off your first order. You get an incredible discount already on this package. And you get 12 burgers for free for a family grill out. OmahaSteaks.com, Georgia, in the search bar. All right. You know all about the anti-Asian hate now, don't you? The anti-Asian hate. There was the video in San Francisco of an elderly Asian man who was assaulted by Dwayne Grayson. He attacked the elderly Asian man. It went viral. The elderly Asian man was robbed and assaulted while collecting recyclables. National outrage over anti-Asian violence, or at least supposedly, you know, we've got all the hand-wringing over anti-Asian violence in the press. They've decided now not to prosecute the 20-year-old. Dwayne Grayson is even heard saying, "I hate Asians." But the district attorney, Chiza Budin, he's the what's his like the godchild or whatever of Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground guy. He was funded by George Soros. He is far left, far left. And he's dropped charges on Dwayne Grayson. He's going to send him through a city justice program. That's right, a city justice program. I thought Asian violence and Asian hate was something we needed to stamp out, and now they're dropping charges against the guy because the left-wing progressive, remember, left-wing progressive, neo-Marxist, critical theorists, they're the real racists here. They're the real racists. They define everybody by their skin color. And you gotta follow your skin color. That's what the racists of the critical theorists on the left want. Just like the alt-right, the white nationalists, the critical theorists, they're kissing cousins. It's kind of like the Nazis and the communists were kissing cousins. Nazism is national socialism. Nationalism and socialism combined. Oh, but they're far right. No. The socialists, the communists, the Nazis, they're all kissing cousins. You're not supposed to say that because, of course, the communists beat the Nazis and then rewrote history to make it sound like the Nazis weren't communists. They were socialists too. That's why when you get to on the far left end of the spectrum, it's a full circle. And the far left and the alt-right white nationalist crowd, they're the same people, different rhetoric.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.